Hi, I am Natalie Leniva, and my new book, Startup Microtribes: How to Bootstrap Your Company by Building an Engaged Community, is up for pre-order. It would mean the world to me if you could pre-order a copy of your own book and help me in spreading this book and this message and get it published. In this book, I share the proven method how to build a community by starting small and then turn it into a powerful machine to elevate your brand, increase product awareness, build partnership relationships, and all of that for $0 marketing spend. This book will provide a tried and tested roadmap for founders with no marketing or sales background to easily generate content, build partnership relationships, strengthen relationship with your existing customers, and increase conversion from leads or trials to paying customers, all of that while building your own community. You probably wonder how all of that is possible with just a community that you don't even have right now. Well, I'll show you all of that in this book that is up for pre-order right now, only for 30 days. This is going to be my first book, and if you help me sell enough copies, this book is going to be published by a major publisher. And for those who order multiple copies, I'm giving away thousands of dollars worth of bonuses. My limited special bonuses include one-on-one help from me, a secret community, access to a course, access to the mastermind group that I run, making guest appearances on my podcast, and getting some shout-outs in the book. I hope you get one before they are sold out, and please share it with a friend. Thanks a lot for the support.
Hey, everyone. Welcome, welcome. So excited to see everyone here. Lots of people. We have more than 200 people joining. Awesome. My name is Natalie Leniva, and in addition to growing our own software company with my husband, I'm also involved in a few other products as an advisor. I also consult a few other software companies on growth and marketing. And recently, I found myself doing more and more of community building work for those companies. I'm actually writing a book about community-led growth. This is the title of the book, Community-Led Growth. There might be a couple of other titles at work. We'll see how that goes. But today, I invited a few other experts in the community, building community. And I really invited them because there are three reasons. Number one, well, first is I'm a little bit selfish and I really want to connect with all of you speakers here. Number two is I would really want you, the speakers, to share with the world what you do. And number three is everyone listening to this, if you have any questions about building your own community for your own startup or company, this is the great crowd to ask your questions. If you're just starting out, if you're already growing your community, or you're already, in thousands, and you have some questions, this is the group to ask your questions. Why don't you just take maybe a minute or two to do a quick intro about what you do, your interest in building community specifically, and then we'll give the floor to people who have any questions.
I can go first. My name is Christina Kehoe. I currently am the director of marketing for a startup called JourneyEdge. We're HR and training resource platform. And kind of my experience with community building, really, I cut my teeth in it when I was at a company called Infusionsoft. Now it's rebranded to Keap. And I helped build our partner community there and specifically really worked closely in developing a group called the Partner Advisory Group. And that was kind of like our think tank for product building and continuing to get more partners and users on our platform. And then from there, I worked for a company called Bevy, which is a community. It's kind of like a user group platform. And that really came out of the walls of Startup Grind, which I was really involved in. I ran a chapter locally here in Phoenix. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona, for all of you on the call today. And that is a community specifically for startups and entrepreneurs and helping to kind of inspire entrepreneurship throughout the state. And there's like 500 chapters plus worldwide. And now I'm doing all of that work here at JourneyEdge. So just getting started with that particular journey here, but definitely have built a few different communities and have, seen the power of that throughout multiple companies, and I'm a huge believer in using it for marketing. So that's me.
Awesome. Thanks a lot for being here. Wealth of experience. All righty, let's go next. Luke, would you like to do a quick intro?
Sure. Natalie, great to be here and awesome to be on this panel and looking forward to chatting with Johanna, Christina, Preston, Red. I will say, Preston, I'm jealous of your your profile picture already. You know, biology spoke. I lost my hair a long time ago. But community-wise, what I'm going to do at HackerOne, I work with hackers all over the world that look to hack for good for companies and organizations on the HackerOne platform. So we are a marketplace of crowdsourced cybersecurity professionals on one side and organizations and companies on the other. So we're kind of the trust factor in the middle, and I get to know and understand them, recruit them, champion them in their efforts, and help develop them and educate them. So that's kind of the four pillars of what our community function does at HackerOne. I sit on a senior level seat reporting to our CEO and get to drive some of the strategy across the company. Originally came up under the marketing side of the house. So content marketing has been a big part of my background and working with very early stage startups. Excited to share more and hear from the rest of the group and learn together. So thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Next up is Jerome and Mike.
Hi, thanks for having me. I come from a slightly different background. So I'm not from marketing. I started from really, really physical local communities. So this is events, festivals, sports, nonprofits that have been relying on community buildings forever. And as a community manager, at some point in my life came that moment, I had to fund my own startup. So right now I'm CEO of a community management software. And we've been building that for a few years. And I have gotten to know so many awesome brands and companies that are doing exactly the same thing that I was doing back in my career with all these events and causes. So I've been helping them build communities. And this community-led growth, I mean, this keyword, this has really, really gotten started. I wrote a longer blog post in, I think it was early January, and I was looking for this keyword, and the internet was pretty empty. So I was like, okay, this is a niche thing. I'm going to just write about my own stuff. And a month later, all of this other stuff starts just popping up. So I'm really, really excited to be here. And yeah, exchange experiences just about this.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. Next up is Preston.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Natalie. I really appreciate it. My background is in sales leadership and revenue leadership. So I was a CRO in a number of roles. So I've built user conferences and I think of community in terms of what's your average deal size and how much can you afford to invest? And that has a lot to do with the product that you're selling and the sort of the vertical you're selling into. And I also more recently launched a startup called Law Insider that's on the consumer side, selling to lawyers individually, where I got to sort of flip my thinking in terms of community building when the price point is much smaller and you need to reach a large audience and engage them in much more incremental, cost-effective ways, much more scalable ways than you do when you're, you know, flying 500 people to a location and sort of, you know, the cost dynamics and the customer acquisition cost is much different. So I'm happy to, and all of this in SaaS and technology. And Christina also have existed in the HR and training space. So anyway, that's the quick on me.
All right. And the last one, but not least, is it Brad?
Hey, thank you so much for having me here. And hello, everyone out there. I also very much vibe with two of the other folks on the panel, having started in offline community building. So, you know, 15 to 20 years, my background was focused on building in-person events. Who could imagine during the age of COVID that was a thing? And then started to shift, you know, Startup Grind and all these others. I was hosting those locally and nationally. But as far as the topic is concerned today, I've also thought about how to build a digital community as a way to promote not just my own brand, but to help increase my company and my company that I work for, the brand that they want to get out there for purposes of lead generation and, you know, all obviously bringing value to our customers. So while I do find myself to be more experienced with the in-person community building, happy to also address what happens when your company says to you, hey, let's build an online community for our customers. Where do you start? So that's me. That's Red.
All right. It sounds good. Well, I see that some people already raised their hand and we'll get to you. Just really quick, I want to hear from all of the experts here to help frame the conversation. If you were to share the benefits of organizing an online community and like, why do you do that? And why do you suggest that and promote that other people and other companies do that as well? If you were to summarize that in under a minute, what would that be?
I can go first on this one. I think that building a community is such a great way. Like, I love connecting people. There's nothing that makes me more excited than when, you know, I can put two people together or groups of people together and they can advance their cause, whatever that happens to be. I'm a full believer that you should be able to get whatever you want in life. And so I think communities are a great way to kind of crowdsource, you know, how to get people what they want and how to build them up. And I love watching that happen. So that's why I do it. And I think that there's no better way for, if you're thinking about it from a company standpoint, there is no better way to sell your product than through someone who's used it, can talk to the use cases of how your product best works for them and how they could potentially use it. And they're usually talking to someone that's very like-minded to them or someone that's trying to solve a similar problem to them. And it makes it a really easy fit and easy sell when, you know, you're almost using your own customers to sell your product. There's no better source than that, I think.
Yep, that's a good one. Luke, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'll answer the question, I guess, in a couple ways. One, from the HackerOne perspective, we're a crowdsourced business. So, you know, anybody that's looking to do a crowdsourced model, which I think is incredibly logical, it's cheap, it explodes in any marketplace, in a winner-take-most environment. You can never, so there's many companies, for instance, in our bug bounty space that can start off, and it's great to see that in the industry, but no one can overnight recreate your community and the loyalty you get from those users. So it's a competitive moat. I know First Round did their, you know, First Round Capital did their state of startups report every year. And I think last year was it, they said 80% of founders reported building a community of users as important to their business. And like a third of them said it was critical as a moat. So that would be two main aspects. Obviously, crowdsourcing for us at HackerOne, but just in general for everybody listening, it is, I think, where you're going to find those flywheels of growth. Now, depending on your business model, you know, content communities, and it's crazy to me to think of a company like Reddit that's been around for 15 years and the flywheel of those kind of companies, they've got 450, 500 million monthly users. It really builds that flywheel over time that gets really difficult to replace and displace in the market. So start with a beachhead, really niche to win would be my initial advice. And it is the competitive moat that I think you crave to drive your value of your business up. And really, I think to Christina's point, help with that growth vector.
One thing, thanks a lot for that. One thing I wanted to point out is it is easier, like especially for SaaS companies, for example, it is much easier to replace a SaaS company with another company because there's just so many competition out there, right? But if you are personally connected on a personal level with someone from the company, be it a founder or someone else, now it's a little bit more difficult for the end user to say, you know, screw those relationships, I'm going to go find someone else. You can basically replace a lot of things, but you cannot replace the connection that you already have with those existing customers and, you know, the founder, the company. And I think this is something that no one can take it away from you. All righty, next up is Joanna Mai.
Agree with everything said before. Maybe my angle is really building on what you just said, Natalie. The competition is crazy. In like whatever you're doing, if it's a product, if it's a service, there is definitely other providers out there that are giving the, you know, the audience something similar. So it's really hard to distinguish by features or just by, you know, something related to the product. So in a way, we're all kind of bars on the same street selling the same beer. So how do people select which bar to go into? It's the bar that has the best hangout. It's the bar that has the best company, the best atmosphere, the nicest service. That's the place where we go to, because if we just want a beer and we have a lot of options, the community is the way that we decide.
I'm trying to just find your profile and see if you're actually based in Germany or what, because it seems like very familiar with bars and beers. I found, like, where are you based out of?
I'm in Estonia, but I have lived in Germany and I've lived a very long time in the Czech Republic. So that might have a slight effect.
Got it. Sounds good. Preston?
Sure. And I'm sorry, I'll keep referring back to money the whole time. And I apologize for doing that. So for me, if your average deal size is over $10,000 a year, then the purpose is two things. And sorry to use buzzwords, but it's just a efficient way to speak. Second order revenue and net dollar retention. Second order revenue is all of the referrals and having customers and prospects in the same room together. And other people have said this already, but that's such a powerful network effect that is created. Net dollar retention is, you know, the theory that if someone shows up to your user conference or an event, like they just don't leave. And whether that's an online event or in person, the sort of the metrics end up always being in your favor, that the more people are connecting with and revolving and socializing around the product and the solution you offer and the pain that the sort of your product is designed to resolve, you know, the longer people stay with you, but then the more they end up spending with you over time because there's other product layers and other product features that you're probably adding. But when you're below 10,000, then it really becomes a question of just customer acquisition costs. It may be that it's one of the only, if not the only way you can distribute and make the customer acquisition cost work. And then when you get like below 5,000 or below 1,000 a year, then something like community, you know, especially if you're bootstrapped or you just don't necessarily have the cash to be spending a ton on pay-per-click or whatever else you might other channels you might acquire customers with. You know, in the case of Linesider, we're 100% SEO plus community. We do no paid advertising at all. And quite frankly, our business model wouldn't work otherwise. Like we tried, like the economics don't work. Either we don't have good enough product market fit, like or. But the reality is the community dynamic is a necessary element for us to grow.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. And last is Red.
Yeah, I would say that there are two things that I think about that are easy benefits from community. The first one is a place to validate ideas and concepts for your company. So if someone's part of your community, think of them as evangelists, right? Those customers or non-customers who, by virtue of being in your community, you can dip into and say, hey, can I get your opinion on something? Rather than paying for focus groups or user research groups, it's just a great place you can dip into for validation. And I think the second thing, and by the way, Preston, credit to you, buzzwords are fine as long as you're not using acronyms. And I think you did it explaining that. But community is also a really good place as a touch point. So if you're a company that is doing account-based marketing and you're looking at attribution, having your own community or promoting or sponsoring another person's community, just paying attention to having a way to track that. So if you're going to build one and you're not tracking it, that would be at least my first line of order, maybe for a future conversation. So yeah, that's my two cents. Everyone else covered everything else I would agree with.
Yep. Awesome. Thanks a lot, Red. All right. We have, look, did you want to say something?
I was going to say a big plus one to Red's point related to, if you want to be a company around user-driven development, I see the community function at companies as a conduit of feedback to go straight to the product and engineering people building the experiences for the community. Because often people in roles of community leadership, we talk to the community all the time, and it feels like we're always fighting internally to say, you know, hear me, listen to what I'm trying to say. So the less that it's, this is Luke's opinion, and the more it's, here's directly feedback from our user community, and here's a rich, vibrant, active, healthy audience that's wanting to tell you all the things they want fixed or see a vision. It's so powerful. And that's where I think you really start seeing change in mind share internally to raise up the level of strategic aspect for the community function is be a conduit of feedback directly from your audience.
I love it. Thank you so much for pointing this out. I talked to so many early stage founders, maybe this is just 1, 2, 3 people team. And what they do, especially software engineers, I always say it is a curse for software for founders to know how to code, because what they want to do, they want to code, you know, all their time. And they don't really think about building this community that can actually provide this feedback to you and validate those ideas. So I am a big proponent of maybe even before you start building the product, and this is something that we've done with our SaaS, we were thinking about adding another industry for nonprofits specifically. And before we started adding any new features, I actually organized a small community. We started hosting weekly calls in the community, and I very quickly realized that this group is not gonna be buying. I know that they have this problem, but no one will have the money to pay for that. And this is not, honestly, they're like, those are not early adopters. So they would not buy that. And so it saved us month and month of work, thousands of dollars, and just wasted opportunities, right? So thank you so much for calling this out. Alrighty, we have 3 people, Zach, Grace, and Hyatt, who want to ask their questions. I always say that the power is in you asking the question and not just sitting there listening, even though we have more than 100 people listening to this session, and that's still valuable. But hey, please raise your hand, and this is where the power happens. All right, Zach, my friend, what question do you have?
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of hear everybody's general thoughts about what are some of the things that while people are like taking into consideration building online communities, in terms of like in the same way that somebody might say, you know, the tech is not what sells your product, it's the value, it's the offering. And I have a feeling that like a lot of people in the audience kind of feel like, oh, if I just create a Slack community or if I like put something up on Facebook group, like that is a community, right? And so my personal opinion is that I don't agree with that. And so I was wondering what you guys think in terms of what can they keep in mind in order to actually build community that honestly isn't that scalable, right? Things that like some of the hard work that someone's going to have to do in order to really build community that goes beyond just like having a Slack or a Facebook group.
Zach, why don't you, really quick, why don't you just suggest a few things that you think go beyond just Facebook group or Slack group or that actually is actually building the community?
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, what it really comes down to is like the non-scalable aspects of community are things like one-on-one conversations. It really comes down to like meeting somebody where they're at. What it comes down to is having conversations that have nothing to do with the ability, like has nothing to do with selling or upselling, but just like honestly getting to know them. It has to do with creating events that people can come to that have nothing to do with like your product, right? Or that it's just like, or has nothing to do with your company, but it maybe has something to do with like the industry, right? When I think about community, I really think about if you can get somebody to wear a t-shirt of your product in order to tell people that you use it, then you really have something powerful. And so I think that in general, like I would say, if you have a community outreach person, or if you have a community manager, the ability to really build personal relationships with members of your community is going to be something that has to go beyond just like, you know, replying to them in the Slack or replying to them on social media or anything like that. But it really comes down to building ambassadorship between you and the rest of your community.
Great. Red, you wanted to add something?
Yeah. So I think Zach, that, and Natalie, good point to getting Zach to clarify that. I would say that there are three things. One is swag. Swag is stuff we all get, t-shirts, socks, pens, pencils, whatever. That is definitely one way to show value to your community. Someone who's given you feedback or help, instead of giving them a gift card, I think they'd be just as happy wearing a pair of your socks, which has that net effect. The other thing is time. It's very hard for people who don't have a full-time job at their company to build community, to say, I'm going to build community, if they don't set aside a couple hours a week where they're going to do give first. Right? Where it's, I'm going to go and meet someone one-to-one in our community and just find a way to help them. It has nothing to do with my product. I'm just a person who's focused on something they care about, and I'm going to help them. And if you commit to doing 2 to 3 hours a week, like hosting a Clubhouse group, or I'll give you an example. I host a product management group every week with my ideal customer persona, a product manager, and I say nothing about my company. I'm just helping spark conversations, and I'm hearing how they speak, which is kind of what Luke alluded to earlier. Holy crap, I'm surrounded by my customers and I'm validating ideas that I can bring back to my product. So the second one is time. And the third one is choosing a medium that you feel comfortable with. So Johanna May loves in person. Great. Engineers and maybe some others love Discord. I love Clubhouse and Slack. So it's just about choosing the medium where you feel the most comfortable. And I know you should always say, meet the customer where they need to be met. But if you're going to spend 3 hours a week giving first, find at least a place where you're happy giving. And for me, that's Clubhouse right now and not yet Twitter Spaces. Soon.
I love all the times you said give first, Rad. That's totally a startup grind value. So love hearing that. Just something to tack in there beyond just the Facebook or Slack groups. Once your community begins to mature a bit, you're going to start noticing there is going to be a handful of people that kind of step up as leaders without being, you know, named a leader. And if you begin to find ways to give them special value and reward them for stepping up, for answering questions, for just helping be engaging in the community, it'll be really valuable. So I kind of touched on this a bit in my introduction, but something that was created when I was at Infusionsoft, now Keep, was this group called the Partner Advisor Group. And it was comprised of 10 members of our community. They were voted in. They were given, voted in by the community as being these representatives. They were put under an NDA, and we did that because we gave them special access to our CEO, our chief product officer, and we would meet once a month virtually over, I think it was like GoToMeeting at the time. And then we would be able to share with them new upcoming additions to our product, new ways we were changing contracts, things like that. They would give us input, and then they would help us. It wouldn't just be, you know, Big Brother telling the community what was happening next. It was these community leaders that were able to share that with everyone else. And because they were one of them, they were a partner just like everyone else in that community. The message came across, I think, much clearer. And then there's ways you can give people perks too. Like, think about what they want. Think about how they find value. Like, for example, we would have an annual user conference. Well, we would make sure that the people in this group had special VIP access. They'd have front row. They had kind of this white glove service. They didn't have to stand in line for registration. Someone would, you know, a concierge would go and get all of their materials and have that delivered to the meeting in advance. And there's fun little ways that you can try to make people feel special and go above and beyond. And it's also, when you're a community manager, ask for, you know, try to get a seat at the table as much as you possibly can. I had a lot of freedom and always have as a community manager, and pulling in a lot of the topics into product calls, and really you're an ambassador for the community internally as much as the people are an ambassador for you that are part of your community. And so making sure that you do as much as you can to elevate the voices that take their time to engage with you is really important. So that's what I'll say there. And I know that's kind of all company focused, and it's not necessarily like something that has nothing to do with, you know, sales or company, but you've got to think about why you're building that community and why people want to be part of it. And so if it's centered around the company, then it's important to give them, like, I think that access and be an advocate on both sides.
Nicely said. Alrighty, let's move to the next question so that we don't have to hear from every single panelist here, I think, on every single question. So Grace, what question do you have?
Hi guys, thanks for having me on. I'm currently working on a fitness accessory e-commerce brand. We target specifically runners, and just as some context, we have a pretty extensive community already on social media. When I started it, it was more just honestly just like providing motivation to runners, so it didn't really start out like a business per se, but over time it grew, and then we started selling mainly accessories like jewelry, some small things like that. But recently we've been moving into subscription boxes, which originally we saw pretty good traction, but we're thinking about expanding to perhaps something more tech related or something that is more scalable, because honestly we think right now the subscription box model is pretty difficult to manage, and especially if we want to grow, we think it's probably not the most ideal move. But yeah, so currently we're trying to pretty much figure out how to pivot, and was just wondering if you guys have any advice on how to do it. Currently, I'd say our audience is primarily female athletes and runners, ages like 35 to 50, so a little bit on the older side. But since we're trying to go into potentially like tech, or we're also thinking potentially like a marketplace for runners, we're not sure like if that would necessarily resonate with our audience. Obviously, we're going to do a lot of tests and interviews, but just based on some of the current feedback, we're not super sure. And from the like surveys we have sent out, just asking people to get like a better idea of their pain points, most of them kind of give pretty generic answers like, oh, like it's hard to find motivation or hard to find time to actually run and work out. So yeah, I just wanted to get some advice on how to pivot an existing community, and also like advice on how to go about actually testing that out and doing effective research.
Yeah, I've been real quick. So a Law Insider, we built our community first, and we ran into a bunch of the similar problems of not knowing where to monetize. And, you know, the good news is you've built a loyal following. I don't know how big the community is, but presuming it's growing, and Guy Raz interview today with the folks from Morning Brew is sort of a good example of like build it and then monetize it. And you have a community. Sounds like you've done some surveys. I would look really closely at survey instrument design to really drill down And I maybe you've done this already and it just didn't work, but we were just ruthless about asking more and more questions that went deeper and deeper. Propensity to buy. Would you buy this? Would you pay this much? Or would you pay this much? Like, because, you know, we only had so many cycles to place bets where, you know, if we had put forth a bunch of energy and no one bought, then, you know, we could have gone out of business. So we were sort of ruthless in the execution of our surveys to get to the place where we were even saying, would you beta sign up? And our first product launch, we got 600 people to sign up for it. And that was the decision to start the subscription to begin with. So I would just go deep on surveys and really get aggressive with the questions you're asking.
I would maybe even try to get a round table together. So maybe get everyone, maybe get your top five customers on a call and talk through with them some of the ideas you have for a pivot, and potentially you're going to see that they might have ideas for you on something that they want to see or that they're lacking. So that's just a quick little tip.
So what I do with communities is, number one is always set up weekly calls. You can call it mastermind. You can call it, for one legal SaaS, they call it article club. That's exactly what their community wants. So you can call it whatever you want. But I find that this is the most powerful thing, where you host weekly sessions. It is not just maybe, I don't know, five people, but maybe it can be like 10, 15, 20, however many is going to join. But hosting those weekly sessions, not necessarily asking anything about your product, but maybe just asking like those questions that are leading to them just hearing their thoughts, is probably where you're going to find their thought process, and not just putting them on the spot. Hey, would you do this or would you pay for that? And by the way, there is a great book called The Mom Test. Highly recommend you take a look at it. I just started listening to it in the beginning. The questions that they suggest is actually very much applicable to what you're talking about, Grace, right now. So highly recommend. It's probably going to give you some ideas how to go around asking those questions when you do those a little bit more narrow, like 3-5 people calls. But hey, I highly recommend you go with.
Okay, cool. Thank you, guys.
All righty. Next up is Hayat.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me here. I've got a couple of questions that I think possibly go hand in hand. Where do you start with building a community? And is it wise to become part of an existing community or start by building your community within another? To give you some context, we're about to launch a peer-to-peer marketplace platform for car sharing in the MENA region. And we're starting specifically in Dubai. Something that we've realized through our discovery process is that here in Dubai, we have a very tight-knit car enthusiast community that we believe we can provide value to through the service that we're aiming to build. So I'm wondering, where do you start when building a community from scratch? And if you would advise for us to establish ourselves within that car enthusiast community that is pre-existent.
I'll try this one. There's a book called Startup Communities. You should read it. It's by a guy named Brad Feld. Christina, that's actually where I got my give first. And I think even Startup Grind took it from the Techstars motto, not to burn Startup Grind, but I, you know, credit to where it's due. It's Startup Communities. You can find it on Amazon. And there's a term in there called the feeder and the leader. Right now, you are what I would call a feeder. You are trying to feed from the ecosystem of car enthusiasts to drive your business. And so as a result, the best thing you can do is support those enthusiasts, sponsor them, give them perks, help house their events, pay for the event spaces if they have a physical place where they want to get together and show off their cars. Feed them, support them, let them be the leaders. On the other hand, if you're not trying to self-serve and you have someone that you can get behind, that is truly trying to be a leader for the future of the car community in your area and your geographic region, get behind them. But you should not confuse yourself. If you're a company that is going to feed off of the benefit of the community, then at least try to act like a feeder that supports pre-existing ones. And again, until you are more well-established. And again, I'm borrowing this from Startup Communities by Brad Feld. And it might be the wrong opinion, but one that I've used in the past to my benefit.
Thank you, Ryder. Appreciate that. If you don't mind me asking a follow-up question, how do you then go from being a feeder to becoming a leader in the space?
I'd like to defer to the other speakers unless anyone objects.
For sure.
Like I'll give a shot. So I think, you know, at a time where we're watching Substack and Patreon, then you're looking at people like Dave Gearhart, people who are switching from the, you know, being authors for major journalist publications to going out on their own. Like writing to me, I don't know if it works for car enthusiasts. I'm not saying it works for every vertical, but writing to me seems like a superpower, and you got to build a mail list. And so if it's either you're going to build a community someplace where you can control the audience, so you have their email address, or you have the ability to extract them from it. And so like the feeder model, that's, I hadn't heard that before. That's super cool. But I would just say your goal is to ultimately get them onto your list or into your community. And in my perspective is you do that by saying, sign up for this thing, download this thing, so that you can take them from wherever they were to wherever you need them to be, where you have more sort of discrete control.
I want to add to this my regular pitch of how to start a community, because I have these two pretty clear things that I love are clarity and cleanup. And if you have clarity and you do good cleanup, you will be a better community than others, or you will be more clearly a more suitable community for a specific cause. And what I mean by this is people need to understand why they should be or why they are a part of the community. And this is kind of a simple question. It's like, what do I do here? You know, what's the deal? You know, if I'm here, what is expected of me? You know, just, you know, read the emails, participate at events, or should I actually do something? Should I show up? Should I, you know, wear your merchandise? What are the rules? So this clarity is super important, because, you know, if it's unclear what I need to do, you know, I won't engage. People, you know, that's how they work. If it's not clear what I need to do, I won't do it. And the other part, the cleanup, is there's a ton of like self-emerged communities. I mean, the Facebook is full of random groups, and there's, you know, different local neighborhood communities that are just kind of slapped together without moderation. And these are tough ones, because the moderation, you know, as a brand, you are able to provide moderation. You will be better than them, because it will be, you know, nicer, it will be cleaner, it will be more polite. And if you're able to set like the rules and the playground nicely, so that it is a pleasant experience to be part of your community, you will be better than, you know, something that just popped up somewhere without good moderation, or something that doesn't really have a clear goal.
Thank you so much for that. Alrighty.
I can add something actually to Hyatt's question. My advice, Hyatt, would be to really figure out what problem you're trying to solve and for who. And whether it's in the car enthusiast group or not, I think I made a point earlier about niche to win. That's exactly, I think, where you want to be able to start. You need to find your first 100 true fans and grow from there. But really make sure you're solving the core problem and finding the people. And then from there, I think all the advice already given by Preston, Red, and Johanna, you'll be able to really kind of build on top of that. So kind of focus on that core audience, whether it's the car enthusiasts. My gut might say they might be a different demographic than the original users, but find those that you've talked to that are really passionate about the problem, that want to solve it, and put them to work. So building other leaders within your early audience base is going to, you'll learn so much from them. And similar point for Grace Yu is like the advice to get much more finite rather than broad surveys. Talk to 10, 15, 100 people as much as you can. And those who are raising their hands, who are really active, that are commenting the most, that's your power user that you really want to understand in a very intimate way, and talk to them every day, give them direct access. Like you can't overshare with them. I can't emphasize that enough to start there, and you'll figure things out. You'll be able to pivot and go from there.
Thank you all so much. I really appreciate it. This is a lot of valuable information.
Thank you. Next up is Javi.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for taking this question. So this is kind of more of a tactical follow-up to that last question, where I'm similarly trying to build a community where it's sort of an aggregator community, where I'd be pulling from existing communities on like Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook that have everything to do with home curation. But then kind of the tactical question would be, what should the first month of activity look like for someone like me who's trying to build it? in terms of recruitment and actually like building out the mechanics for how members would interact with each other. Thank you.
Gosh. Okay. So to get you started, one, I think it's important to like figure out what platform you want to be on first. So like getting even just starting like a like on Facebook or LinkedIn or something. I would really heavily lean on even just who your customers are currently and see like where they are. Get some feedback. Like, why would they want to talk to each other? What are problems that they're trying to solve? And then that'll kind of help you seed content from the get-go. But I would honestly, I would try to get in there and be the first instigator of starting to ask questions. And then I think it's also really important, like not only is this, it's important to have community guidelines for all the reasons that Johanna had mentioned, where you have to clearly understand like who belongs and who doesn't in a community. But in those questions that you're asking about why should someone, like why does someone want to join this community, you should ask some things about goals and objectives that they're trying to like overcome, or topics that they're interested in, or things that they're trying to solve, and save that like in your CRM, or so you can refer to it. So it's something that you can clearly understand as a community manager that you're trying to help them with. It's like, it's very much, I think of any community as you're trying to serve whoever your community members are. And if you don't even know why they're there, that can be really difficult. So that's kind of my advice. Again, just talking to your people and then just being prepared to seed content and have some people in your corner knowing that, like, for example, your customers or people that you'd want to be in your community, like talk to them ahead of time and make sure that they know the expectations for engagement.
I want to rephrase something you said. I absolutely agree with you. I just want to say it differently. If your first goal is to have people speak to each other, that is a very, very, you know, a bad goal, because just people talking to each other, what is exactly the value? I think your actual goal is something else that you're trying to facilitate through these discussions. But in the discussion, there's always two halves. Someone's asking something, someone is answering something. So you can kind of untangle the actual activities that would spark those conversations. And in the beginning, of course, it's going to be you asking and answering a lot, because that's the non-scalable labor that you have to put in to build that playground for people to interact in. But, you know, you can untangle it backward into what are exactly the things you want them to do or achieve, like through these discussions, and then, you know, guide towards the actual goal.
Hey, Javi, can you, what was the product again, or the idea?
Right. So it's kind of a community aggregator where, so the behavior I'm seeing, at least in this market, is in everything that has to do with home curation, interior curation, or decoration, there are like five or six different types of influencer groups that I'm already seeing on like Facebook or Instagram that have big followings. But then based on my user research, there's a lot of engagement happening and love happening between, I guess, the community builders and the people following them. But then the gap I saw there was that they run these on Facebook groups, which don't have like a payments or kind of e-commerce function when they're trying to sell things anyway. So what we're looking to do is kind of bridge the gap from a business model perspective to streamline kind of product sales management for the community builders, because they're having to do that and actually having payments installed into the experience for the people who are actually within those communities. And yeah, it's everything to do with home curation and interior design.
Yeah. Have you tried to talk to, or do you know any of the leaders of these communities? Because that would be like kind of a meta place to start. Like, what are their pain points if you're trying to solve their problems and add value and help make them more money? I would imagine a lot of these, kind of, I had a good point earlier, like every single offline social media channel, you got to drive them to something you own, which would be a newsletter or an email list. If these influencer groups are smart, they're doing similar things and they're trying to build their own audience is there, and kind of a share of voice they own and a channel that they can market to. So if you're trying to solve their pain points, that's the exact audience I would dive deep on. So how can you add value to the existing community? I would start there. Always lead with value and probably start with these power users.
Awesome. That makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
So I'm in the large trade show or conference and events industry. So right now things are a little tough, by the way. So when we take a look at a launch of any type of an event, we're going to identify exactly the community that we want to get to. 9 times out of 10, it's business to business professionals getting together to discuss, you know, what's happening in their industry, what keeps them up at night. In building a community, I want to draw this back in. I take a look at it business to business. I think LinkedIn, last time I asked a question on a group, they're like, LinkedIn groups stink. They don't work anymore. Go a different route. When you hear that, what platforms come to mind that you can build or search and find and build a new business-to-business community with the eventual goal of getting them to a conference or trade show, business-to-business, very identified sector, that you want them in, even if it's a year down the line? So what platforms do you look at? And if that was in your lap, go build this community for this sector that's out there, so they can eventually go to a trade show or conference that you're hosting. What's the first questions or ideas that come to mind for this group?
I'll jump quickly. I don't know if you've looked at Industry Dive.
And no.
Yeah, so they sort of created this franchise model. So they have like HR Dive and I don't know, like 10 others. And there's a great podcast they did with Simon Owens on his Business of Content podcast, where they break down how they did it, but they're very systematic in terms of what you just described, but they were very thoughtful in terms of like, this is a mini marketplace. It's super niche. We know we have our ideal audience profile, our ideal customer profile. We know the things that they want, and we're just going to slam these things together super thoughtfully, understanding that it doesn't need to be a massive group, but we need to get the flywheel moving. So they sort of came up with this formula to go from 0 to 1 and then build on top of it. So that would be my quick recommendation.
Preston, that's awesome. It's new to my ears, so I really love it. You said HR Dive. Well, one I'm looking at is an HR sector specific. So that's even doubly valuable to me. Any other thoughts?
Yeah, I find this one difficult because I've seen so many people try to use existing platforms like Slack, you know, in the interim. It's just everyone's already using Slack for work, you know? And so if you try to say, hey, use this for your side networking, it's almost like you're fatigued at that point in time. And you said something negative about LinkedIn. Well, I find that if you're trying to build your own group on LinkedIn, I'm surprised that you're having difficulties there, because I've seen only success for B2B SaaS communities where LinkedIn is the best source of what I would consider to be owned signups, like Luke mentioned earlier, but not so much interactions. Like they're not talking to each other. They're just opting in to say, hey, Ron, when you've got something kick-ass that we should do in person when in-person opens up again, I'm happy to sign up for this, which then kind of leads you to think, well, should I be doing a Substack or an email newsletter? But I have found most people gravitate towards LinkedIn to kind of create the start. And when you say that groups aren't working out, I'm almost surprised by that. But given you've done offline events and LinkedIn, I'm curious what didn't work about LinkedIn as maybe a warning to other people in the room who are thinking about doing it.
Actually, that's awesome, Red. I'm going to slightly reverse it. It wasn't me that saying it wasn't LinkedIn. I jumped onto another room one night and I talked about it, and they were just hammering negatively on the LinkedIn groups. Personally, one-to-one, I have great connection on LinkedIn, even on the ideas and concepts, because I write it and I'm like, hey, I'm not trying to sell anything. I just want to kind of ask you around this industry sector, get your expertise and insights. And people are like, yeah, I'll give you 10 minutes. When do you want to talk? It's been great for me. So I was a little taken back when they said those groups are terrible. So thank you, because you also said not a lot of transaction, but you can get the group. So then if I have something to give them, if I build that group, at least it builds. So thank you, Red. I said it a little bit wrong. That was great, great insight.
My only feedback, and sorry, Jonamai, is that whenever you're in a clubhouse room, look at the bios of the people speaking. If they aren't you and they're giving advice, then you have to say, well, what are they representing with it? I have found a lot of consultants giving advice, and I'm like, well, you aren't someone who does community building. So your advice is about how to build a community for consultants. So I'm not going to listen to you. So I think, Ron, maybe you just heard it from someone who's not your ideal comparable persona.
But Joanna might wanted to pitch in, so I didn't want to.
Yes, really? I love software questions, platform questions. And my personal opinion is that every platform can be really bad if it's badly managed. And most groups are really badly managed. And most of the LinkedIn groups are really, really bad. And it is not LinkedIn's fault. If the actual community is good and it's managed well, it does not really matter which platform you're on. There are pros and cons. So existing platforms like Facebook and LinkedIn, or even Slack that people use for other things, people already have those apps. So that's a good thing. People get a lot of spam and notifications from other places. That's a downside. And if you build your own app, or you take some white label community application, or you go with a niche thing that people have to download and learn, that's tough. But this will be only for your, you know, your content, for their attention. So you really get 100% of their experience in that environment. So what the choice is depends on the audience. But most of the critique for existing platforms, it's just most of the communities are not very well managed and people get a bad experience.
That's great. Thank you so much. This is the best advice I've gotten from any room I've ever joined, and I've gotten great stuff, but this has been the best by far. Thank you.
Ronald, one thing to add on that. I know we want to move on to Maria too, Natalie, with the time, but for you, figure out broadcast versus conversation. So when you look at broadcast in some ways, which can also lead to conversation, start with email. You can build a newsletter, have a voice. Go to YouTube next, or podcast, or Clubhouse. That's somewhat broadcast, but also leads to conversation. Then you can drive to whatever platform of choice, as Johanna and I had mentioned. It really is dependent on what's going to work and click. You need to experiment too. Start 2 to 3 different ones in different platforms and see where there's traction and go there and double down.
Awesome. Test. Thank you so much, everybody. Appreciate it.
We have Cyrus.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for all this discussion. They have been extremely useful. My question is actually, I'm working on a SaaS business for middle range enterprise, and I quite found it difficult to basically navigate to find that person who is actually decision maker and have a conversation and basically gauging if my product is useful for that person or that company or not. So as of now, I have been like able to build a list of over 100 potential customers, but I think I basically need something scalable to basically gauge my idea, which is basically a B2B idea in a scale. It's somehow related to Ron question, but yeah, any advice on basically testing B2B ideas would be really great.
Yeah, so I'll take this quickly. So it sounds like I'm not sure if this is a community question, though I appreciate that it has community, it potentially could have community elements or drivers behind it, but you're looking to build a mini B2B feedback loop where you can go and validate product market fit, pre-traction, so you can get to your first 10 customers, and how do you go do that? And I think that some of the engaging in communities where you think your ideal customer profile may exist. And I think that there's a lot of people out there who do want to participate. And I think what, you know, on Twitter they refer to is, you know, building in public. Like, I think building in public and showing people your process and showing people your betas and your straw man versions, even if it's just a wireframe and an idea, the more public you can be and the more you can find the place where you believe that product is solving a pain for the audience that's in that room or in that group. I think it's hard. I mean, candidly, it's very hard to do it, but the more public you are about it, people like to participate in that. They appreciate the intellectual honesty and the courage it takes for a founder to put their ideas out there. And so I would encourage you to just find places to share those ideas.
Yeah, Preston took the words of my mouth. Build publicly. The other thing is look at acquisition models that companies like Slack and others have done and copied from earlier products. Start with your end user, solve their pain point, and you'll grow organically within the organization and it'll move up. If you can get that kind of traction, you'll find 1 to 3 to 5 to 10 of the exact economic buyer, because it is going to be more complex and difficult to find them initially. you can start that direction as well. But build publicly, great advice.
Yeah, those are really great suggestions. I was thinking to, because my business is basically SaaS, I was thinking to put a little bit emphasis on like influencers. I found like two influencers in Facebook, and I guess they could be good candidate in line with what you suggested, but I'm not sure if Facebook would be a good channel to start with. Any suggestion on that?
Sorry, that to me feels like, listen, if you got $10,000 and you want to give it to me, I think there'll be a bunch of people who are influencers who want to take your money, but that is a B2C approach to a B2B problem. You want to connect directly to the people whose pain you are going to be solving, because they're going to have the most skin in the game. They're going to give you the best feedback. So I would not do that.
Yeah, these influencers are basically reviewing SaaS products. And so I was thinking, yeah, I totally understand. When it goes to Facebook or YouTube or those channels, the direct basically feedback would go to customer, to the people that may not be actually the decision makers for my product. But in general, I found it quite difficult to basically put those community for B2B business together. And I was actually Googling this website, this Industry Dive, and it seems like they have a newsletter that potentially could be useful. But anything similar to that, I guess, would be something that solved the problem.
I think maybe you're a little bit overthinking all of that. So number one, there are a bunch of existing communities there on Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever, where your ideal audience hangs it out. And so you go there, you post a question or something that says, hey, do you have this problem? And then people start commenting, and there you go. You have at least 5, 10, maybe a dozen, maybe a couple of dozen people who say, yes, I self-identify, say, I have this problem. Maybe next step could be you post in those groups saying, hey, who would like to hop on weekly calls, like mastermind or something? And then I've done this, like I was talking about the nonprofit this specifically, and one post got 150 comments. Out of them, 100 people filled out a Google form that I then created for them to fill out all of the information about themselves. And then out of that, 50 people actually ended up being in my weekly calls. After that, after you complete a couple of weekly calls, you invite some of those influencers or experts, whatever you want to call them. You obviously do not pay them anything, but because you now have a small audience, you can invite them and have them as an expert, as a speaker, to present for 20 minutes during your weekly call. And then the remaining 40-minute call can be, you know, your regular mastermind or Q&A or just people talking about the same problems that they have, connecting with each other. So this is how I would go around that. And again, it's not about influencers, it's more about partners. So those people who already have a small community who you'd like to tap into, because now all of a sudden you also have a small community that you can offer them to participate in, and now you can exchange audiences. And this is how I think in the early stage you can build very easily. Do not overcomplicate those things.
Yeah, that's extremely useful suggestion. Just one thing that I have concern about is that I have over 100 connections in different mid-size or smart-size enterprise, but I found it quite difficult. I don't know, maybe it's me. I think it's rude to reach out to them, asking them to participate in a survey, or maybe for one time or two times, but because most of them are high rank.
But why do you say in a survey?
Well, I know this is a pain point. I want to basically get their thoughts about features of the product.
So this is how you position this. This is not a survey. You position this as, we talk about this problem. Hey, do you have this problem? Yes, I do. Now, okay, everyone has this problem. Let's get on a call, everyone who wants to. You can call it, again, mastermind. You can call it whatever. And then if everyone wants to discuss something else, then you can, kindly weave in to the conversation your couple of questions, and then all of a sudden you get the feedback from a few people. And I think if you have something of value to offer to people, and again, I was so amazed that people want this connection. They're like, I didn't have any mastermind calls for just nonprofits. I really want to hop in. Thank you so much for doing this. So if you come from the point that you're actually giving something of value to people, they really want to participate in those communities. You just need to have this mind shift, and not just, a mind shift, but also on those calls, you're not pitching anything, but you do give people value by organizing and leading the community. So this is how you probably need to think about this, and everything becomes much easier, where number one, you don't pitch anything to anyone. Number two, you're actually there to help, serve, build the community for them to get a chance to communicate. The same thing as I organized this room here. Do you think the people, all of those people who are speakers, do you think, oh, Natalie, she, you know, such and such, she reached out to me, wasting my time? No, they all want to be here helping, talking to you. The same thing with, you know, all of your people. You come from the side of where you want to help people and not pitch something.
Well, yeah, this is awesome. I'm taking notes and I try to move forward with all the suggestions. Thank you so much, everyone.
Absolutely. All right, everyone. I think this has been a great conversation. All the panelists here, if you have something to add, maybe a call to action or somewhere where you think people can find a little bit more information about you, connect with you, any final parting words about communities, now is the time to do that. Christian, go ahead.
I can just go first real quick. Just build with your users, focus on that, lead with value, build trust, and follow me on Twitter, Luke Tucker. Appreciate being here, Natalie. Thanks for the invite, and just really enjoyed conversation with the rest of the panelists and great questions. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Luke. Joanna Mai?
Okay, main things, do your homework, clean up well, be a good community manager, just be a nice person. You could be a weirdo, if you're the same kind of weirdo as your community. So if you are relatable, be there with your name, with your voice, and, you know, they will relate to you. I'm on Twitter, my Twitter link is here on my profile. Come connect with me on there. I love speaking with communities and I love solving problems. So just tweet me at me or DM me if you have a specific question, specific problem. I love solving small little things. So happy to help.
Thank you so much. Christina?
I would say just be an advocate for your community the way that they're an advocate for you. And I'm an open book. I'm a community builder. I think all of us are. I mean, we're all community builders on this call. So reach out to me on Twitter. That's probably the best way. The link for that is in my profile. It's just Christina A. Kehoe. There's two A's in there. So, but if you can link right off on my profile straight there. That's it. Thank you everyone for being on the call.
Yeah, thank you. Preston? He's probably getting a haircut or something. Brad?
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, two pieces. One, go on Amazon. If you're trying to become a community builder, go on Amazon right now and buy the book or audiobook for Startup Communities by Brad Feld. I don't work for Brad, but I can tell you that is one of the easiest reads to inspire you how to build communities in big cities and small cities and online and offline alike. You'll be doing yourself a huge favor. You'll be learning the language of communities very quickly. The second thing is when you are going to do a community, be consistent. So if you are going to say, let's try this, don't try one event and only six people show up and then you give up. It's not okay. If you really want to build a community, pick a time and a date and then do it again every week or every month, but try it at least five times. Because if you're really about building the community, it's not about the numbers. Numbers are bullshit. If you can help one or two people and change their lives, then that community was worth it. And if it really was worth it, the next time they'll come back with friends. So be consistent, give first, and you'll find that that is enough to say you are a community builder.
I love it. Thank you. So one last thing for me is do not be afraid. All of us have, you know, the syndrome where like we think we're not good enough. And why me? Why I should be building this community? I'm not good enough. And everyone feel like maybe they're, why am I better? I love stuff by Seth Godin, and he talks a lot about leadership. So be the leader in your community, step over your fears and do that. Yes, you are not going to feel 100% certain that you're doing the right thing, but do it anyway, because then a couple of months down the road, you're going to look back and you're going to think, thank God, I did it. And I wasn't just scared, afraid of, and I backed down. So highly recommend you go ahead. If you want to do that, you do that. Do not procrastinate. This is just a little bit something to lit up the fire under your butts. All the speakers, thank you so much. Everyone, please follow everyone here. They took their time, an hour of their time to share their best with you. So please follow them. And thank you so much, everyone, for participating. And I look forward to talking to you again really soon. Thanks a lot, everyone.
Hi, I am Natalie Luneva, and my new book, Startup Microtribes, How to Bootstrap Your Company by Building an Engaged Community, is up for pre-order. It would mean the world to me if you could pre-order a copy of your own book and help me in spreading this book and this message and get it published. In this book, I share the proven method how to build a community by starting small and then turn it into a powerful machine to elevate your brand, increase product awareness, build partnership relationships, and all of that for $0 marketing spend. This book will provide a tried and tested roadmap for founders with no marketing or sales background to easily generate content, build partnership relationships, strengthen relationship with your existing customers, and increase conversion from leads or trials to paying customers, all of that while building your own community. You probably wonder how all of that is possible with just a community that you don't even have right now. Well, I'll show you all of that in this book that is up for pre-order right now, only for 30 days. This is going to be my first book, and if you help me sell enough copies, this book is going to be published by a major publisher. And for those who order multiple copies, I'm giving away thousands of dollars worth of bonuses. My limited special bonuses include one-on-one help from me, a secret community, access to a course, access to the mastermind group that I run, making guest appearances on my podcast, and getting some shout-outs in the book. I hope you get one before they are sold out, and please share it with a friend. Thanks a lot for the support.